Welcome to Parenting Kids and Dogs 101, a limited series podcast for parents who live with kids and dogs, or plan to. I'm your host, Michelle Stern, the founder of Pooch Parenting. I'm not just a certified professional dog trainer and former teacher, I'm a mom too. In each episode of this series, I hope you feel like I'm chatting with you, one parent to another, about life with kids and dogs, answering common questions my clients ask me, and giving you simple solutions to make your life easier and safer. I hope you'll subscribe and join me for the whole series. And don't forget to grab the accompanying workbook at poochparenting.net/podcast workbook. Enjoy! In episode 7, we will be talking about what to do if your child accidentally hurts or provokes your dog. To begin with, it's really important that parents understand normal behaviors in kids that accompany different developmental stages. So for example, young kids are often super curious and they want to explore what happens if. So for example, what happens if I poke my dog in the eye? What happens if I play in the dog's water bowl? What happens if I spill the dog's food? What happens if I pull my dog's tail, right? They're little scientists and they want to explore the world, and they often do that by manipulating their body and other bodies. And so we need to be on hand so that we can intervene and make sure that nothing bad happens. Because even if your dog is the biggest saint in the world, everybody hits a limit of what they will tolerate. And I actually think that tolerance is too low of a bar. We need to help our dog not have to be tolerant, although if something does go south, we hope that they will be. So if we notice that our dog suddenly yelps and our child runs away or looks sheepish because they did something, we need to react calmly. And it's really hard to do that because our first instinct might be to shout or to, you know, run over and kind of freak out. And if we do that, we might make our dog a little bit more afraid because of the way that we are reacting. So try to take a deep breath and move your child away to prevent anything else from happening. By moving your child away, what you'll be doing is you'll prevent your dog from biting your child if you're there fast enough. And we will also prevent our child from repeating that same behavior. Once our child is safely away, perhaps behind a baby gate or in another room, we can talk about, oh, you know, we don't pull tails and here's why. And you need to explain what that's all about, why pulling tails isn't a great thing. And your kids may not be developmentally capable of understanding the rationale, but you should still explain it because over time, they will process all of these stories and teachable moments that we have with our kids. And then you need to use management to prevent this kind of unkind interaction in the future. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying your child is unkind. I'm saying that sometimes behaviors that are experimental are unkind to the recipient. So don't worry about that. Your child is exploring and is trying to figure out the world, but from your dog's perspective, it probably felt pretty unkind if they got poked or prodded or sat on or things like that. Now, we need to think about natural consequences, and we talked about that a little bit in the gentle parenting episode, but an appropriate natural consequence for a child who is inappropriately, you know, making contact with the dog would be that they don't have access to the dog for a little while until we can get a handle on some more appropriate and more gentle behaviors. One factor to consider is that your child might be swatting at or kicking at the dog because they're afraid or nervous and they want the dog to move away. And if your dog is sleeping or doing something really harmless and your child goes by and kicks at the dog, we need to really dig in and think about why. If it is a fearful reason and motivation for this kind of behavior, then they're hoping the dog will leave, most likely, and that would create more space for your child to feel safe. So it is important to get curious, ask why for your child's behavior. It could be that they're merely being curious about the natural consequences or what would happen if, but it might be because they want the dog to give them more space because they're afraid. If you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to grab the free workbook that comes with this limited podcast series. All you need to do is head over to my website, poochparenting.net slash podcast workbook. If you want to think about things from a more proactive perspective, you might be wondering how you can teach your children to respect and interact safely with your dog. So I'd like to begin by suggesting that you model the behavior that you want your kids to demonstrate. So for example, most dogs don't like to be hugged. So don't hug your dog in front of your children. I know this sounds sneaky, but if your dog does like to be hugged, then you have to remember that everyone in your family will hug your dog, and your kids are likely to treat all other dogs the same way that they treat yours. And so what might happen is your dog is fine with being hugged, so your kids hug your dog the way that you did, and then they go hug another dog and get bitten. So that is something that we want to make sure does not happen. Another example is that many dogs find eye contact threatening. So if you go in and kiss your dog on the nose, you are eye to eye with your dog. Now again, your dog might not mind, but if your child goes to kiss your dog, because that's what they see you doing, and then they go kiss other people's dogs on the nose, they're putting their vulnerable face right near the teeth of a dog that they don't really know and should not be trusting. Other strategies to teach respect are to set some ground rules, such as never bothering a dog if they are eating, chewing a bone, eating a meal, or resting or sleeping. And if your child has trouble remembering those rules, then you can have them help you make some signs, such as decorating some stop signs or creating a trifold poster board that blocks the view of the dog in its bed. So you're modeling good behavior and you're setting your kids up for success. Another strategy is to teach your kids to invite dogs to them to pet them and give them affection. So instead of approaching a dog to pet them, we invite the dog over instead. And again, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but this gives the dogs an opportunity to consent or to opt out. And finally, you should talk a lot about dog body language that you notice as a family. Set up scavenger hunts, make it a game, and make it be fun for everybody. Hey, let me know if you see our dog yawning when they're not tired. Or, have you noticed that our dog's ears are flicking back or they're going tight against their head? Or the dog's tail dipped down to show they're nervous? These are great teachable moments to help your kids and dogs live in harmony. It's only natural for questions about our kids and dogs to arise from time to time, especially as our babies grow up and our dogs mature. And if I'm being honest, it's not really worth asking for free advice from friends or even online because you can't rely on the accuracy of the feedback you're getting. If you'd like to learn more about the Pooch Parenting Society, where I offer practical life and science-based tips and strategies, ongoing support, and a safe place to share, head on over to safekidsanddogs.com. From one parent to another, I see you, and I promise that you're not alone. Thanks for listening.